The Sharpshooters, episode 59, April 8th, 2006. Everybody to another edition of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Mikey the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. It is April 8th. My birthday has passed. I feel great.
Chuck's still in the mail.
You didn't give me my damn shirt, Marcus. I'm hot.
I am arguing with the Postal Service currently about where the hell is that angle shirt?
Whatever, Marcus.
From this angle, they suck. All right. Take that, Mr. Postman.
Anyway, moving on.
I'm very angry about this shirt.
I have really nothing else to say to open up the show, so we might as well just go right back into it.
What, the shirt?
I have nothing else to say. I thought I had something clever, but I had nothing clever.
Nothing clever at all.
No. So our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We don't have a poll on the site.
No!
You can Skype us and leave a voicemail with the username The Sharpshooters,
yeah,
or call the number 310-928-6889.
Yeah!
We appreciate all the feedback. We have a lot of feedback today.
Tons of feedback!
And you know what? Let's just get into the show, Marcus.
Yeah!
So, as usual, Marcus is going with the theme of SmackDown this weekend, where if you was a wrestler, you just yell, yeah, a lot. That's what he's doing.
Just, if no, you guys... no, I'm just yelling, yeah.
Oh.
I'm just pumped.
Okay.
Full of,
news?
News and emails and...
All right.
Wrestling today.
So anyway, the first news story is that we're going to give an update on Randy Orton's suspension. The Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter reports...
Did we even say he was suspended on the last
Yeah,
show?
We did.
Was he suspended on the last show?
Yeah, he was.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, Randy Orton suspended, if we didn't say
Marcus, we did. You can go back and look at those.
I remember.
So, the newsletter reports that Randy Orton's suspension is due to his behavior at WrestleMania 22. The issue with Orton, as reported, is his attitude about how he is a main event guy, and he feels that he does not have to follow the same rules as everyone else. He feels that he is above the rules, and he had several issues in the past backstage, mainly with female co-workers and the way he talks to them. Apparently, he goes around calling them a cunt.
The C word! You can't say that. You want the explicit tag on us?
We do a lot more things that can be considered explicit.
That's a terrible word to say. He
also
goes around calling the C word.
Also to note, Orton is one of the least liked people backstage and has the most heat of anyone right now. Undertaker is reportedly despises
you,
Randy, and Kurt and Ric Flair, who are known as party animals, don't like him either. On the website, they had an interview with Randy Orton, and he responded to it. He says, WWE has certain standards of conduct they expect out of all the superstars on both Raw and SmackDown. Unfortunately, I violated those standards and was not representing WWE the way I should have been. Basically, my conduct was unbecoming of a champion, which is what I will again be when I return. The greatest thing about his quote right there...
You sound like he a character!
He's still cocky right there. It's nice to know that Randy Orton's character and his real personality is really... Can you stop messing with stuff on my desk? You would have messed with the curtain, the window, the spindle. Leave stuff alone!
I was adjusting it because the sun was getting in my eye.
Also, if you guys have watched SmackDown, his suspension is reportedly to begin on April 12th. I just want to throw that in.
It's April 12th. Well, which means he's passed this week. And
60 days. 60 days without Randy Orton.
60 days without Randy Orton. And one report I read, he was close to actually being fired, but I doubt
they can't fire him.
They can't fire him.
Because guess what? You fire Randy Orton, he goes to TNA. TNA is a real player.
That's who they got.
Because he can talk.
He's young.
He can wrestle. He's young, and he's a name. You let him go to TNA, TNA should have been on the phone with Randy Orton. Are you fired? Are you fired? Please, come us.
Hey, call somebody else to see what.
I'm sorry to say.
Walker Ben's office, call him a straight up bitch.
You get Randy Orton, that's a good start.
That's a great start, and Christian has a valid contender there for best talker.
Okay, but the thing is, Christian is a good talker, but you know what? I see why it was kind of hard to get Christian developed, because I just, maybe it's because it's TNA, it's hard for me to see him seriously as a champ right now. Maybe because he ain't been on TV, well, I don't know how
because
long.
Because he don't have a real contender that seems like they can actually win.
All right.
Other than Jerry.
All right, segue now. TNA will be on ESPN 2. Jeff Jarrett, Jackie Gata, and Mike Tenay are scheduled to appear on Quite Frankly with Stephen A. Smith. They plan on discussing the popularity and evolution of wrestling in the recent years. I have an issue with this right quick. I have no issue with them being on ESPN 2. I just feel that, why is Jarrett there, not the champion? Also, if they're really going to have the popularity of wrestling, why not invite some people from WWE or some former stars or something like that?
Well, let me tell you this. TNA is cheap and they'll do it. Jarrett owns the company. Don't know why Jackie Gator's there whatsoever. I hope she doesn't talk stupid, because, you know.
She's a lap dog. Why is she even there?
Yeah, and then Mike Tenay.
Mike Tenay is like the president or something like that.
Mike Tenay makes sense. I say you should have Mike Tenay, Christian, and, you know, maybe AJ. Somebody in X Division.
But my thing is, if you throw Jarrett on there, you at least have to have the champion. Also, an X Divisioner, you know.
You got to have an X Divisioner in there, because, you know, the X Division is what TNA is all about, in my opinion.
But Marcus, will you watch this? Reportedly, it will air Wednesday, April 14th.
I won't
14th.
Be here.
I might TiVo it. I think it might be interesting to see what they talk about.
Yeah, and I'm really curious. Quite Frankly is a good show, by the way.
Doesn't Quite Frankly come on earlier, though?
It comes on at nights.
Oh, I didn't know.
They pushed him to the night.
Trying to hold the black man down.
Hold ya.
No, I'll prefer if they would have some other wrestlers on there.
I would like the mix of legends.
But you know what? Tell you the truth, this is just a TNA story, so it could be more people on the show. So it might not just be TNA. I doubt if there'd be any WWE people, which would be great. But we'll see.
I would like to see some legends, like throw a Bobby Heaton in there, or, you know, somebody from the old days. You could bring a modern day, maybe put Christian, you could put him there, and then you could put X Division or something like that.
I think it would be interesting if how much does Stephen A. Smith know about wrestling?
Yeah, I'm curious.
And does he make the mistake and bring up WWE, like bring up Steve Austin or something like that? And how would the TNA superstars respond to that?
Yes, how does he know?
So, anyway, and our last news story is Val Venus is hurt. He will be having elbow surgery and expected to be out of action until the end of June. I think this is the best thing that can happen to Val Venus.
What, so he can fire while he's injured?
No, I really think Val Venus is a talent. I remember when he first came out, he was really green, as I could say.
Yeah,
but I think
he wrestles the same.
He's a suitable intercontinental challenger. That's it. But the thing is, he's been buried because he's been teaming with the likes of Viscera.
I think they can do something with Val. Give him another tag partner. A real tag partner other than Viscera, who nobody really likes. I mean, just give him like... And
why does Viscera still have a job?
I don't know. They can give him like a tag partner. Somebody who isn't doing anything currently, team him up with him, and they form some type of better tag team, because Viscera, I just don't like Viscera.
I never liked the Viscera. I'm not really into big guys that don't really wrestle that well.
Fat guys.
Yeah. Well, anyway... That's pretty much the news, as you guys can tell, that it was not much news. I think the Randy Orton and TNA on ESPN is quite interesting, not to say quite frankly.
Well, that's what Vince been saying lately.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, God's in the match with you, and quite frankly, Sean, I hate you, and quite frankly, I'm the owner of this company.
Well, anyway, so we're going to take a break.
Quite frankly, we'll be back after the...
All right, we'll be back with the SmackDown report.
For the Sharpshooter Wrestling Podcast website.
Oh. Thanks to Marcus, we're back. You saw about something. It's now time for the SmackDown report.
Why did you record our left field this time?
Because you was about to go on a great rant.
I was stopping after I finished that sentence.
You want me to start over? Or do you want to keep going?
We can just edit it.
No, I ain't
editing. Let's just see
ourselves. I'm not editing that. No, because if we stop, it is the flow. I'm ready into the SmackDown report.
Let's go.
Yes, you guys heard a conversation that normally gets edited out of the show, but because we're bringing you the uncut, unrated edition of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast, you get that.
Next, we're going to be live, huh? Live in front of a studio audience on Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah! Okay. Anyway, Time for the SmackDown report.
SmackDown!
On Friday. I'll have to say, this has probably been one of the better SmackDowns in a while. Couple of bad things that happened, but I would say it's more good things that happened instead of bad.
I would like to say, this is a better show than Raw was following after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think what happened with this one, it's like with Raw last week, it started off really well, then it just slowly downgraded.
It dribbled away somewhere. It lost its mojo.
This one started off good, slowly ding, was picked up again,
and then died. It died with impact.
So when we say starting off really well, the first match of the night was Paul London and Brian Kendrick versus Eminem in a non-title match. Is this the first match that Paul London and Brian Kendrick have had on SmackDown? I think it is.
No.
Most of their matches have been on Velocity.
No, they fought
No,
they fought tons of times on SmackDown.
Only time I remember it on SmackDown when they got crushed by Gemini.
No, they also, they fought Eminem on SmackDown. Came close and lost. They fought the Mexicos on SmackDown. I believe that was last week.
Okay.
Was it last week? Was it the Mexicos and...
No, I think it was Mexicos and Eminem last week.
No, I don't think it was...
Doesn't matter. They were on there tonight.
It was Philly or something. I don't know.
Well, the first offensive thing that I've ever seen, which actually benefited to the lights of the fan.
And the camera angle.
Paul London and Brian Kendrick interrupted Melina's entrance, and they was carrying her with the split, and the cameraman was trying to switch. They were trying to switch, but they wasn't too good.
Now,
even though we didn't see anything, but it's still the principles.
I like to say this. Eminem has the greatest interest in wrestling right now. The whole hoopla of what they do before they get in the ring makes no sense. Because they bounce in and
They tell you to come to me.
Yes, hand signals and kicking legs in the air.
She's dropping down to a knee. It makes no sense. It's like...
It's so over the top.
It's like a beautiful disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
It's like pounce.
Yes.
Pounce. Like Monty Brown, but then she goes lower.
Okay.
But it works.
Mark, let's get back into it. Okay, Kendrick and London, they land a double team kick to the front and back of Mercury. Kendrick follows that with a hurricanrana. Melina and Nitro then yank Kendrick out of the ring, having him land face first on the concrete. After that, scroll down, Kendrick is worked over by Eminem with a series of double team maneuvers. Melina also gets involved and attacks Kendrick with a kick on the side of the apron. Kendrick finally gets a tag, but the ref did not see it, and they begin to pound on Kendrick some more until he escapes and he rolls through, and then he tags in Paul London. London flurries with forearms and drop kicks. Then London lands the drop salt, which is a drop kick that lands into a moonsault, whatever. It's really a nice move.
But Taz calls textbook when it's not textbook.
Well, no one else does it. Yes. He lands the drop set on Nitro and Mercury. Eminem then signals for the snapshot. Kendrick hops inside the ring. He drop kicks Nitro out of the ring till Mercury does not know. This allows London to get a roll up, but he only gets a two count.
Don't forget about Kendrick did a crossbody on Mercury.
Outside the ring. Oh, then they battle in the ring. London climbs the tie rope. Looks like he's about to go for his 450 splash. Nitro comes, pushes him off. He kind of lands on his feet, but he stumbles. Mm-hmm. Mercury seizes. He attempts like a slingshot maneuver.
He was going for a Boston Crab.
I don't know what he was doing.
Because Nitro's supposed to have like an injured leg or something. So he's going to put in a Boston Crab.
I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, Kendrick came in, knocked Nitro back out the ring. This allowed London to reverse the slingshot or crab maneuver into a pin, and they score a win. At first, I thought this was for the titles, and I was like, wow, they just won a title.
No.
Then they quickly announced that it was a non-title match, and you see Melina and Eminem talking about, it's only one, it's nothing.
We still got the title.
We still got the title.
Which happens to Eminem a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever it's a non-title match, they probably going to lose. Except for the one time they actually beat, I think it was Kendrick and London.
But it was nice seeing this match because seeing Eminem reminds me of an old school tag team with their execution, the double team maneuvers.
Teamwork.
And then Paul London and Kendrick, they're just so energetic and so fast paced. It's really nice to see those guys fight.
I would have liked to see Kendrick and London get more offensive moves in.
Well,
I would like to see, you know how in tag matches they follow the same formula. The bad guys isolate the guy from the other quarter. I would like to, for once, for the faces, to isolate one of the heels in the corner.
But I think what happens with them is that they have the same Rey Mysterio style. You know what I mean? Because they're small guys. Mm-hmm. So they have to be beat up by these guys, and then they have to flirt with their speed and quickness.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter. It worked. It's a fun match. It's old-fashioned tag team, and I think SmackDown is completely on the right track with the tag team division.
I would agree.
Because they have three real good tag teams with the Mexicos.
But put this way, Mark. I'll show you this. Name three tag teams for SmackDown. Name run that.
Eminem, Kendrick, and London. Marcus,
give me the third one. Just give me the third one before you start
Kid
talking.
Kid Cash and what'd you call him? The Gemini?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, now, give me three tag teams from Raw.
Kane, Big Show. Spear Squad. Val, Venus, and Viscera.
They don't count because he's hurt. Exactly. You have to think of that one.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still... Let's not get on the Raw side. They have problems over there.
All right.
They have the problems. SmackDown, on the other hand, is going on the right track, the tag team division, and I feel that they can make it very strong. Once again, tag team wrestling can
That's
back.
Why I'm preaching for the interpromotional tag team belt.
I'm preaching for
now,
every belt to be in.
After this match, we go backstage, and Teddy Long is talking on the phone about Rey Mysterio winning the title championship, the belt. He also says that Randy Orton is going to get his rematch tonight. Then he is interrupted by Booker T and Charmel, who are extremely happy, celebrating. He compliments Teddy on his suit, asked him what color is it.
What color did he say it was?
I don't know, oyster or something like that.
It's oyster, isn't it? That's oyster, something like that.
Then Teddy brings up some harsh, he reminds Charmel of the kiss between her and the boogeyman. Then he asks him, he just wants to know, did she get a worm down her throat? She didn't answer. He was like, I don't need to know anyway. Booker says that Teddy can't get the smile off of his face. He says that he got a restraining order against the boogeyman. He says if the boogeyman comes within 100 feet of them, they will lock Teddy up long up. Booker says there's no such thing as the boogeyman anymore. My question for you, Mark, is this. Why the hell does Teddy Lowe get locked up if Boogeyman violates
the
restraining order?
I have no idea. They found it on the boogeyman, but yeah, Teddy Lowe gets penalized. But I don't understand that. Maybe the restraining orders do work like that.
No, they don't.
Say if I get a restraining order on you, and say...
No, Marcus, it doesn't work.
I don't know.
The only thing that you could do, that they can legally do to Teddy Lowe, is sue him for putting him in a dangerous situation.
Yes. And also, this also confirmed that they continue the Boogeyman versus Booger T storyline, which I think is a damn disgrace.
Well,
that's all I have to say.
Okay, moving on to the match. Now it's Booker T versus Gunnar Smith.
Gunnar!
To some people, better known as Brent Albright on Ohio Valley Wrestling. Had to do some research. He's actually a pretty big star in Ohio Valley.
Apparently, he's a Chris Benoit clone. He's similar to Chris Benoit. He wears tights to Chris Benoit. Pretty much, he looks like Chris Benoit.
Indeed. So how this match starts, Booker lands a shoulder block, but then he is caught by a drop toe hold from Gunner Scott. Book then lands a scoop slam on Scott. Scott receives a sidekick after escaping a suplex. Book then lands a spinebuster after exchanging punches with Gunner Scott. Mm-hmm. Boogeyman music hits, and Book and Charmel start to freak out. While the music is on and they're distracted, Gunner Scott sneaks behind Book and scores a roll-up victory. After this match, Teddy Long's come out and said he is sorry about what happened. It was just a miscue in Boogeyman's music. Teddy says, we all felt the presence of the Boogeyman, and then he congratulated Gunner Scott on the victory again. After we came back from break, Benoit gave Gunner Scott the rub and said that's what he's talking about, that intensity, and Gunner Scott just yelled, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, Gunner Scott, I don't believe you can make it with a name like Gunner Scott. I think he got to go to his Ohio Valley name.
Brent Albright?
Yeah, that seems better than Gunner Scott. That just seems so jobberish. Now, here's another positive on Gunner Scott. Is he getting a job? Because he did pin Booker T. He did talk to Chris Benoit. Teddy Long raises his arm up in victory. Are they giving him some type of push? Is this a Jay Lethal effect without the goofiness?
I think what's going to happen is I think he's going to be associated with Benoit. Because from what I understand, the biggest knot on Gunner Scott is that his promos suck.
Oh.
It's kind of like an early Chris Benoit. Great in the ring, technical and stuff like that, but his matches suck. Now, of course, we're no expert on Ohio Valley because we have seen none of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know how to find it.
But from watching the match, he is no Jay Lethal. He's not goofy.
No, he's not.
He's serious.
He has ruthless aggression.
He's not like meh.
Now, speaking of somebody that's goofy, we're getting treated to a Simon Dean match who... change his purple suit to a bright neon lime green suit.
Fool was glowing in the dark.
Yes.
I was blinded.
Going against Chris Benoit. So, Simon Dean's coming out, of course, on the Dean machine. But then, in the middle, through the rep, he is interrupted by Chris Benoit music. This is when Simon Dean decides that he's going to reverse the Dean machine and attempt to run over Benoit.
Was this attempted murder? What was his intentions?
I don't know.
I don't want to see this work to fruition.
Well, because he wasn't
going... Was he going to blind him and be like, oh no!
But because he wasn't fast enough, Benoit lands a clothesline and knocks him off the demon shit.
Now, was he going to, like, use the greens of the blind Benoit and then run him over like a car? Benoit slides under the wheel?
I don't know.
What advantage could he have got on the Segway, Eric?
I don't know. Benoit dominates the match until Dean gets a thumb to the eye and follows that with a bulldog and tacks the back of Benoit's neck. He's been doing his research.
Yes.
Benoit lands his Germans and then follows that up with a crossface for the win. After this match, a video says the USA was built by great men. JBL is shown on Mount Rushmore, and then he said he's one of those great men. We are invited next week to join JBL in the great, the biggest American hero celebration next week. All I have to say, a JBL celebration next week, I'm pumped.
If it's JBL on a mic, I'm there. Also, here's another thing to bring up.
JBL! This is JBL! JBL! Oh,
it just continued to go over and over until the audience actually started to chant just a little bit, JBL. Also, I like to point out that this is like a first time in WWE in a while that there's back-to-back squash matches.
Indeed.
And on the Booker loss, you know, you get the picture that was a squash match.
But you know what, for me, though? The Booker match, you knew that was a squash match, so he lost. The Simon Dean Chris Benoit match seemed like it could be a real match. They had some real match tendencies, but you knew it was a... I'll put it this way.
Simon Dean is Shark Boy, yeah.
No, he's not.
Norman Smiley?
That's close. I don't know.
Kenny King.
Yes, Kenny King. Simon Dean is Kenny King. So now it's time for the first hour main event, which should have been the main event of the show for me personally.
Yeah, because who wants to see Mark Henry and Undertaker, which they've been advertising all night, and also they've been pumping up this main event with Ray's moments, so this should have been the main event.
Yes, Ray moments was throughout the night. I decided not to put those in the notes. Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio. Before the match, while Randy is warming up, Kurt comes in, and he interrupts him. Randy says that Kurt is missing his world title and he can help him find it because after tonight, he will have it. Kurt Angle then slaps him and just starts screaming, yeah.
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 Apparently, he was on Roid Ranger. Drug testing needs to be taken for Kurt Angle right now.
Marcus, why go over the match? Could you please crack the window because it is very hot in here.
All right.
So,
getting hot in her.
Randy blocks Ray's bulldog and applies a rear naked chokehold. Pretty much this is applied throughout the whole match. Ray lands a tilt-a-whirl. Randy rips Ray into the ropes, but Ray holds on. Randy charges Ray, but he lands a drop toehold and puts Randy in 619 position. Ray goes for the 619, but Randy escapes it. So, Ray, being the ingenious person he is, he springboards off the rope with a seated seesaw to the outside of the ring, oh, to Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Nice spot. Ray then attempts another springboard, but Randy drops him, kicks him to the outside. Ray finally does get his bulldog, but he only gets a two count. He gets a springboard seated suit on Randy again, then he lands a somersault inverted DDT off the middle rope onto Randy. Ray climbs the top rope, but Randy catches him with another dropkick to the gut. Ray escapes a pin while putting his foot on the rope. Randy goes for the RKO, but Ray lands a spinning roundhouse kick. Ray attempts a gut wrench, but Ray escapes, but gets caught with a clothesline. Randy goes shoulder first into the ring post. Ray lands a 619 around the ring post, and then another when Randy is on the ropes, and then he lands a springboard leg drop to the back of Randy's neck for the win.
Now, very, very good match. Look, this is my problem. Ray, hell of a wrestler. Orton, a jerk and a hell of a wrestler. But the problem is, Ray shouldn't be champion. The wrong man should. Orton should be champion, although he's an asshole. And you know, I just don't see him as a champion.
Well, I know you don't see him, but if Ray continues to deliver good matches like he did in this one.
But you have to be able to get promos, too.
Well, that's not necessarily. Well, yeah.
You have to be. To be effective.
Jeff Jarrett couldn't get promos. He's a champ.
Yeah, because he owns the company. But anyway. See, look, this is why Chris Benoit's title run wasn't that great, because he wasn't, like, the best on the mic. He gets his points. He's better in the match, and this is why his title run didn't last long. Hopefully, Ray's don't overstay his welcome. It's to the champion.
No, Ray is the transitional champion, because, I mean, he's going to give you good matches, but after a while, you're going to get tired of him. I think how this match was executed, it was better than the WrestleMania match. Should have been the main event if Ray or Randy was a champion.
No, the time should have been the main event. They should have gave him the time they gave him on this show. They got about 67 minutes, 10 minutes without a commercial, pretty much. And then they went to commercial and gave him an extra 5-6 minutes.
Well, and also with this, I was kind of upset because I felt this should have ended the show, even though I think what ended the show could have went right here and worked perfectly fine. Yeah, and also
you have to fit in the other part, you know, Tae Long's announcement.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense. So I guess it's a reason why it went here, but I have to say overall, very good championship match.
Yes.
So after the match, they actually did some other things, but I just kind of skipped that because I felt that it goes better. Crystal is interviewing Ray. Ray says he would like to thank all the fans and everybody, but especially he would like to thank his family. He brings them into the picture, they hug, and in his old interview, he was pretty much getting the point across that dreams can come true.
And Dominic has a mullet now.
He has a mullet.
But also, here's another part I should have brought up at the beginning. Ray's interest took forever. He had to go to every turnbuckle with the belt, and I'm like, just go to one for now.
He's the champion, Marcus. He has to.
But couldn't he go side to side or something? Just one, go to this one, this corner, and then go to that one.
I don't know.
Not every corner.
After that, Palmer Cannon is on. He says that the views and expressions that we are about to see do not represent the views of WWE. They didn't air footage of Mike Mizanin, a.k.a. The Miz, throwing water balloons at people entering the WWE building, and then him inside the building doing Pilates, acting the fool, doing things that...
Working in Pilates!
Yes, doing the things that The Miz, I guess, does.
Mm-hmm.
Move it on.
No comment on The Miz?
Not really. It's just, he's The Miz.
He's The Miz, and he did this pretty much last year.
His popularity is solely based because he's a real-world person. I don't know. I have never seen him in ring. Don't know if he
never
can wrestle.
Never seen him on Real World.
You have to see him on a gauntlet. The gauntlet shows when they put, because he's the captain. It doesn't matter, really.
I don't watch.
So now, getting back on track to the wrestling. William Regal versus Paul Burchill. William is backstage, and he pleads with Burchill to become normal again. They make a stipulation that the winner got to dress the opponent next week. Burchill says that Regal will make an excellent buxom wench. He checks his nipples and his breasts. I don't know.
Because he wants him to dress up as a woman.
I guess. I would feel better if he wants him to dress up like a first mate. But you know what? Technically, Burchill never said what Regal had to dress up. He mentioned...
He said a butcher.
No, he just said, I wonder what you look like as a buxom. You know, wench. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to dress
him
up.
That means he's wearing him like a function wig.
No, it'd be kind of cool if he dressed him up like a first mate. I don't know.
With a little sailor hat? Coming out with tugboats all the time?
I don't know. Well, anyway, this was a pretty basic match. Regal lands a half Nelson back suplex on Burchill. Then he goes on the offense and beats Burchill up. But eventually, Burchill lands a C4 for the victory.
Or walk the plank, or
whatever you want to call it.
A bunch of arm drags. Nothing really special.
No, it was just a basic match. Nice match. Good show filler.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as bad as the... Well, we didn't even get no Raw matches. Never mind.
All right. What are you talking about? We got Chavo and Shelton.
We got two. That was two.
Yes.
So anyway, so now it's time for the big King in the Ring announcement. Booker T, Finley, Chris Benoit, Bobby Lashley, Matt Hardy, and Kurt Angle are backstage in the locker room. First question I was asking myself, why the hell are all these people in the locker room? And how the hell is Finley and Bobby Lashley standing next to each other that close and they ain't
Lashley
killing?
Lashley was standing next to Kurt and Hardy.
But still, Marcus, they have history and they were so close to each other.
It's past them. They went through the ladder. They tried to kill each other. It's over.
But anyway, thank God that Teddy Long walked in and said, I called you guys in here for a meeting. So pretty much Teddy Long called this meeting. He says he wants to announce that he's bringing back the King of the Ring. He started announcing all the great former King of the Ring winners, except for Kip James.
Oh, Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn. He says there will be a series of matches, and the first match will be next week, and the people will be Kurt Angle versus the Suspense. Teddy Long parts the wrestlers and says Randy Orton.
Who's holding his neck?
So, once again, we're going to have another Randy Orton match before he gets suspended again.
Yes, so meaning he's probably losing. Don't use that word! That's the most offensive word in the English language!
I guess. It is?
Yes, one of them!
Oh, that's good. Well, what I think is interesting is the question is, who's Matt Hardy going to lose to?
Yeah, no, probably Lashley.
Anyway.
I bet you Tatanka's in this. But anyway, probably Will Woodard Animal. I want it to be in a promotional.
Probably Mr. Kennedy.
Oh,
it's about time, because isn't the King of Ring in Wisconsin?
Is it?
I believe it is.
Well, anyway, I just feel that they should make it interpromotional. They have, you know, have the Raw side do their brackets, have the SmackDown side do their brackets, and at the King of the Ring, have a Final Four, you know, have the main event, whoever comes out, King of the Ring.
I mean, that's a great idea, Mark, but that's a hell of a long show.
Well, not really. Wait, really? They do it all, they did it back in the day!
Well,
except for the wrestlers were connected.
Anyway, that's true. Now it's time for the main event that nobody wanted to see. First, Henry gets on.
Dun,
Undertaker versus Mark Henry. Mark Henry gets on the mic and says that he had an epiphany and he saw the future of The Undertaker and that on this night, the dead man will never be the same. First of all, good, pretty decent promo by Mark Henry, but I just don't think Mark Henry needed to be on the main event.
No, Mark Henry should have been a mid-carder, and they could have, I think they could have worked in the King of the Ring thing before this. They could have made the Ray and Orton a main event. The champion should always be the main event.
Yeah.
Never the first main event.
Taker lands his old school move. Taker lands his flying clothesline and then boots Henry to the outside of the ring. Taker follows him to the outside, bangs his head on the steel steps. Then he falls out with an elbow across the throat and his leg drop on the side of the apron. They get back into the ring. And you, while they're outside, you hear Cole and Taz, who the hell is this guy? A giant man walks down to the ring with Daivari. They stared each other down. Then they started fighting. He ripped He ripped the turnbuckle and delivered a series of headbutts to Undertaker. Then he landed a boot to the Taker. And him and Daivari stood over the Undertaker's body. If you guys want to know, his name is Dalip Singh. He was in The Longest Yard,
yes.
And he's been wrestling for Japan.
Yes. And Dalip Singh is Chuck. He has more moves than the Boogeyman, apparently.
Indeed.
He has more moves than John Cena.
No, he doesn't. All we saw was a chop and a headbutt.
Hey, one chop and one headbutt, that seems like an arsenal compared to what Cena got.
Because you start taking, I thought you was on the Cena bandwagon.
I didn't say he's a great wrestler, did I? He still sucks in the ring.
Whatever.
Man. I'm not on the bandwagon. Let me clear this up. I'm not pro Cena. I'm just
Wait, hold on. Before Marcus cleared this up, that was SmackDown. Good SmackDown. Short but sweet.
Wow, this is a short show.
Exactly. Like I said. Go ahead, Marcus.
What?
With your Cena comment.
I was done.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back. Welcome, everybody. We are now back. Normally, you know, on Saturday, we have a Hall of Fame. Top five. But this week...
A top five makeover. Or
whatever. But anyway, since this week is the last week that TNA will be on Saturday nights, because they will be moving to Thursday on Thursday, we figured that when we had our WrestleMania conversation with Manny and Floyd, we had a lot of side... If talk about TNA. Marcus edited that TNA out. So we figure if any other time to put that info in here, this will be the time.
Because it's a very lengthy, very good discussion about the direction of TNA and TNA management.
Indeed. So, without further ado, here is that conversation.
Now, before we get into this, before the Impact taping, and yeah. This is before WrestleMania.
This is before WrestleMania.
This is actually doing our WrestleMania pre-show. So
we made that clear early, Marcus.
All right. You know, they call me Johnny two times.
All right. So anyway, after listening to that, we'll be back with listener feedback, and that'll be the end of the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you guys. Well, you guys will hear us in a few seconds.
What?
Where do you think TNA goes from now? You know what I mean? I know they get totally buried with the Hall of Fame, which actually I'm looking forward to more than WrestleMania, to be honest with you, the Hall of Fame. But what do you think TNA needs to do now? Where do they go from here?
You want to answer the question, Mark? You want me to go?
Where TNA goes from now?
Yeah.
They go Thursday nights!
What would you do? Doing live shows. Live shows, like Raw.
Yeah, they need to... Do them at least within the time. We can do back-to-back shows. I mean, have 3 weeks of shows worth, and it's like the wrestlers just sitting at home watching 3 weeks of shows. And
but how does the average fan know that?
The average fan in that.
No, it's not. I think the one thing that TNA needs to do, it is like, I think their format is fine because, like Floyd says, the average fan doesn't know that. Only the advocate fans know that. I think
right, because I didn't know that until I started listening to your show. They taped two or three of them in a row. I didn't know that.
I think the most important thing for them to do is actually get an extra 30 minutes. An extra 30 minutes to an hour so they don't have to try to rush the entire product into that one single hour, because they have so many storylines that come up when their pay-per-view come up. Unless you watch every episode, you have no idea what's going on. Like with Raw, you can miss a Raw and come in next week, mm-hmm. and you can still understand what pay-per-view is coming up. with TNA.
Not really. Well, they change the names like every year.
No, but better. I'm just talking about the matches with TNA though. Like that last pay per view was a Destination X. They had like a match on there: Les Hoyt versus Matt Bentley. No one knows why they're there. You had to watch Explosion, and no one really watches Explosion. You don't have no background history between these guys because they weren't featured on Impact because they're trying to get the Jarrett and Team Canada stuff across. It's just that they need more time.
And less Jarrett.
And less Jarrett.
Yeah, I'm about to say, but if they go into 2 hours, won't we see more Jarrett, more Paparazzi Cam? And oh my God, if I see 3D versus the Canadians, I'm going to throw up, man.
I feel that if they do that, they'll be slowly soon out of business if they don't give the other wrestlers and other storylines more time. They give you more Jerry and more Paparazzi Cam and more, you know, more of their stupidness than wrestling. Because their pay-per-views, without storylines, the pay-per-views are second actually to none. Because WWE can put out a great pay-per-view, but it's not in, like, every pay-per-view. Every pay-per-view I see on TNA, it's like, I'm blown away by the talent they have, but they don't show it on Impact.
I think for me, I think that the writers need to get smarter. They have like storylines that don't make no sense. It's like, let's bring up Team 3D and Team Canada. Why are they fighting? I thought they squashed that at that pay-per-view when they fought each other.
Before you continue, this storyline doesn't bug me as much as Bullet Bob. They could just take that whole storyline and just wash it away.
Yeah, it's like no one cares about LAX and the James Gang, because I think the James Gang is pretty dead to me. It's like Kip and Road Dog, whoop-de-doo. It's not there. It's just like they're not promoting. Like Scott Steiner coming in, yeah, he's there. The Sting following Sting with the cam, okay.
But now they're doing the same thing with Christian.
Yeah, it's like now they're doing the same thing with Christian. They're like rehashing the characters with different people. Why is Abyss now after Christian? Why is he the number one contender? What happened to Monty Brown? Monty Brown ain't been seen on TV since. It's like
he's in the Serengeti, man.
He's in the Serengeti.
He's contemplating his life in the Serengeti.
He's training with the tigers and lions.
I think the issue is, and like, okay, another good example, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is the hottest thing in TNA right now. Yet, he's feuding with Sabu, who hasn't been on TV since.
I don't like that.
It's like, to me, why not get him a title shot? It doesn't even look like Christian is in there. It looks like I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sting and Christian versus Steiner and some. It just make no sense of why Sabu is fighting Samoa Joe.
Nah, it's like the Undertaker's thing. You know, you put the Undertaker, he comes back in now. That's what Sabu is right now.
No, but the point is though, it's like with me, Sabu, yes, he's a decent star, but he's not the star that's gonna put Joe to that next level.
You don't know.
I would compare
Sabu to somewhat like a boogeyman, you know what I mean? Yeah. A gimmick.
Yeah, it's like he takes great bumps. Great bumps.
When are they gonna bring back Raven?
Raven? I don't know. And that's another thing. They've been teasing this whole Raven thing. Like, remember when Jackie was coming in? Oh, I'm going to tell Raven. What happened to telling Raven what happened? It's like Raven just disappeared.
Yeah. And
maybe he's going to be in Sting's team. I have a feeling.
That would be cool if he could be. That'd be something fresh. It'd be better than like putting a Jeff Hardy in there, I'll tell you that.
But you know what? Why are we always talking about these old guys, man? I mean, this X Division, because I ain't going to lie. I didn't start watching TNA until I started listening to this podcast around Christmas. And when I saw the first, that guy, that this Canadian guy, I don't know his name, the one that does that Canadian that roll move, oh my God.
The Canadian Destroyer, that was the first move I've ever seen.
Dude, you can watch that move in slow motion and you still can't figure it out.
It's like, I'm like,
because it takes both wrestlers to do it. And it's just that it's like one of those moves, like, wow. And but see, you know why I think the problem with TNA? The biggest problem? They focus too much, like, on the old talent. Like, look, Petey Williams, great X-Divisioner, but what is he doing right now? He's fighting on behalf of Team Canada.
Yeah, at one point he was fighting for the X-Division title, and then he never even tried to get a rematch against AJ.
AJ Styles.
Was it AJ or Joe?
I don't know. AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, two of the biggest stars in TNA. They haven't been seen on TV for 2 weeks.
Even your Sanjay Dutt. I mean, these guys are doing some great moves. I mean, moves because it's just my thing is when you I know you guys used to argue about a great wrestling match and what does it take. I don't want to rehash them old moves. But my point is, if you're sitting there watching by yourself and you scream, you go, oh, man, that's a great match. And that's what I do in the X Division.
I mean, I have not really seen an X Division, as you said, that bored the hell out of me. I've seen them it's something fresh that you don't see anywhere else. I mean, you got like, goes like Japan when they like do this or something. That's what most of them like, rather like Christopher Daniels, he learned all the wrestling really in Japan, he says. And it's like, they be doing some amazing stuff, man.
I just think there's so much that can be brought to play of what TNA can do. And I think they just have to really sit down and look at themselves in the mirror and find out what direction they want to go in. Are they trying to bring in these old dogs, or do they want to promote the whatchamacallit? It's understandable that you need names to get the attention, but I hate to say, Scott Steiner is not the name that's going to get you the attention. Because I guarantee...
Well, the average fan might like that.
The average fan might
like
that.
I mean, the old fan, that casual fan.
Let's put it this way. Like, the Sting. Sting is a name in wrestling that's been anonymous with wrestling throughout the whole year. So you hear Sting, you like, oh, Sting is back. I thought he was dead.
I'll turn to see Sting.
You know, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I tune in to see Sting.
You hear a Hulk Hogan name. Oh, Hulk Hogan, he's like the grandfather of wrestling. Let me see.
Well, I don't want to watch him anymore.
No,
yeah,
you don't
nobody
want,
wants to see
no
him.
No one wants to watch him, but pretty much his name goes outside the wrestling world. People
you,
know,
you know what? Because if somebody else started up a wrestling federation today and Hulk Hogan's name was attached to it, we would probably watch.
People would watch.
He gives it credibility. Although he isn't the best talent, he gives it some. This name is the biggest name probably in wrestling history. Only behind Steve Austin, who was like in charge of that era.
I put it this way. You have cats. They need somebody who's been successful outside of the wrestling world to bring attention to it. Like, let's take an example what they're doing with the White Sox. Does anyone care that the White Sox have an X Division title?
Now, if this was a different story, say if he was an NFL team, which is like the biggest story in the sport in America, or even a football team, you know, soccer or something, maybe get David Beckham or somebody in there. Anybody, anywhere, you can, what you call them, and it'd be more important than the White Sox because baseball isn't really like. It's not.
But you know what? But you called yourself TNA. Total nonstop cash. That would make me start to love this. I was like, forget it, because I just saw a bunch of guys wrestling. I didn't know Samoa Joe from Christopher Dan. I didn't know anybody's names. All I saw was the action, and I loved it.
Honestly, to be funny, not be funny, but to be serious. The first name I remember was Samoa Joe because he was fat, and I saw him flipping over stuff. I was like, "What is this guy?"
He was like inspiration to fat people around the world that we can't flip.
We can't flip.
The thing is, it's just that I think they really need to figure out their direction. The youth is the movement that they have, and that's what they need to do.
I just want to see a video package of Monty Brown pouncing a tiger.
That would be cool. They need to have a Monty Brown video of him in a Serengeti just like doing everything.
Highlights of him playing football.
Yeah. It would make some good TV watching that. Mm-hmm. It'd be like you could have him come back against Christian Cage. It'd be the build up. You don't see Monty Brown till the pay per view. It'd be the build up of him pouncing all these different kinds of animals every week.
You see him with an elephant like that.
And then eating the animal afterwards.
Yes.
Oh, take God.
The whole and then, new and then looking directly into the camera.
Yes, as he always does. I mean, he's like, huh? Where's the camera? Pounce.
I think a lot with TNA is that, like, I love the wrestling matches, but I think when they go to the storytelling and the background information, they don't really set the groundwork to really understand why this wrestler is doing what they're doing. It's like, what you gonna say, Manny?
They gotta fix up like that problem. That was pretty much the downfall of WCW.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, why is Jarrett so obsessed with this belt? Why does he?
Well, he owns the company.
Well, he's not upset with the belt now, but it's like,
Why isn't he upset right now?
Yeah, it's like, why does America's Most Wanted and Team Canada still hang around Jarrett? Because the whole thing was Jarrett equal power. But wasn't his power because he had the belt? Now he doesn't have the belt. Why are you still with this guy? What does Jarrett have to keep you with him? And the thing
and
is...
why is his stable so big?
Yes.
Because it's the NWO.
Yep, that's all it is. It's just a rehash of the Wolfpack, the LWO, the NWO, and Team Canada.
To me, I believe that Team Canada can flourish by themselves. If I think Damore does a good job by himself. He does not need Jarrett. Team Canada is Team Canada on their own.
And it's then, too many people in Team Canada, if you ask me.
Well, A1 is just enough.
There's just enough in Team Canada.
Yeah, A1 is not.
Is it four or is it six people in Team Canada?
It's four. But see, the thing is, they don't have it established what part of the division that they work in. Because you have Petey Williams. Yes, he's an ex-divisioner. He's the captain. Then you have Bobby Roode, A1, the sauce.
The steak sauce.
And you have Eric Young. And I have to say, this past TNA, I earned a lot of respect for Eric Young because of his, you know, his bleeding ability. I just thought he did a good job in that mediocre cage match. But then you have Bobby Roode and A1. Like, when they were teaming up to face Team 3D, why would you put Bobby Roode with Eric Young? Why wouldn't you put him with the sauce? Because the sauce is a bigger guy. Why are you going to bring the little cat to the fight? Team Canada doesn't really have where they're going. Then you have America's Most Wanted. I think they're one of the most entertaining tag teams in TNA, but they're always so busy being stuck behind Jarrett. And then the whole thing with Abyss, it just makes no sense why he's teaming up with Jarrett.
I mean, he's like a monster that sold out. How are you going to be this big loner character, but yet you're chilling with Jarrett at the bar like, going to be another beer? Barf!
And then you got too many other side characters. You got James Mitchell. You got Gail Kim. You know what I mean? Too many managers and Coach DeMore. You know?
Yeah, like, if they're going to be managers, let them have their own stable. You can't have so many chiefs in a tribe, and the next thing you know, it's going to be dissension. Yeah. Another thing I think is a big flaw with TNA, who is running TNA? Is it Larry Zbysko or is it Mike Tenay? Because to me... I get the impression that Mike Tenay knows more about what's going on than Larry Zbysko does. and that's not right.
Yeah, especially since I heard Mike Tenay on some other show, and he was, he's like head creative guy.
Yeah, and also fired Don West. I don't like to see anybody get unemployed, but I don't like Don West.
What? My God, you're going to fire Don West?
Because only reason why, only thing I know about Don West, I remember back in the day when I was a little kid, and you be up too late, and you go by paid programming, that cat was selling me baseball cards. And the worst part about it, the same stick that he does in wrestling, he did with baseball. A Ken Griffey rookie card. You can't believe this. You can get it nowhere. It's like...
For $9.95.
Yeah, for $9.95. It's like, man, what are you doing?
Oh, Don West.
WrestleMania/TNA. I gotta ask this.
Am I the only one who says Don West looks like a clown without makeup on? Am I the only one who sees it? I just see him with makeup on. It. Am I the only one who see that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picturing it now, I can.
Yeah, I just don't know. But you know what, guys? It's been great, but we really need to wrap this show up.
Well, hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. We had fun doing it. And like I said, we look forward to doing more interaction with the listeners. Throughout the show, little conversation,
because we probably will do more form shows, and we will sidetrack, and you may get your own little segment on the show, like this little segment here.
Exactly. So once again, I guess it is only right that we thank Manny and Floyd again for participating in the segment. They had no idea that they were participating
in. You think they can sue us for not signing like release forms?
No,
we shouldn't give them ideas like that. And no. I guess we'll be back.
No break. Let's just know. Let's just go to listener feedback because, they had.
Well,
that.
We had our break.
We had our break. We didn't have to say nothing.
Well, not really. We just dragged it, put it in there.
So, the first email we received is from our boy Ebert.
He says, just a few comments, guys.
Can we say a subject first? I hate John Cena, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
He says, first, happy belated birthday, Eric. Thank you, Ebert. You guys didn't ask the ultimate question about TNA last week. Samoa Joe was told by the general manager that he had outgrown the X Division 2 weeks ago. When will we see Samoa Joe this week? He is in an X Division match. So what gives? Is he a main eventer or not? Why is Christopher Dale trying to wrestle him when Joe is supposed to be wrestling Sabu?
I think I touched on this a little bit in our beginning of the show. I mean, not in the beginning, but in the beginning when they was discussing this about Sabu. I just said it was stupid because I didn't want to get into great details about how he's supposed to be in there. I just think it's stupid that they just say set the Sabu at lockdown match doesn't matter whatsoever. It's all about the X Division. And Zelly Zbyszko contradicting himself and contradicting every fan who was watching TNA that, oh, he's supposed to branch out to the heavyweight division. Because I thought next he was moving his way up to Christian, and I would want to see that match more than a Abyss versus Christian match. And then it's stupid.
Seems to me like they're just trying to have a main event for their Thursday night premiere. Personally, for me, I think they could have did better with having the AJ versus Christopher Daniels and then put Samoa Joe against somebody, maybe the Truth Killings or somebody. You know, somebody that's big that really show the progression to the next level. But by him wrestling Christopher Daniels, it is taking a step backwards, in my opinion.
Because I do not feel, he's probably going to lose that match. Probably because of, you know, like the Sabu's gonna interfere. And you know he's probably ain't winning. And I don't know. It's just.
All right. Also,
I don't know what they're going for.
Also, in his email, he says, I'm glad you guys got it right about Cena. People really weren't cheering for Triple H, but jeering Cena. I don't care about Marcus giving Cena a break. That mumble mouth idiot will get booed by me until he loses the title. I hate him more than Scrappy Doo. At least Scrappy Doo can upgrade himself to Scooby Doo. I hate that wannabe rapper with no wrestling skills and his Elmer Fudd hat wearing dumb expressions. I can't tell you how pissed I am that Triple H didn't win WrestleMania. How come the Raw match wasn't for the title? I also hate that WWE is forcing us to watch this idiot in every Raw main event. John Cena needs to join Tomko in Japan and just disappear. I'm tired of the Frankenstein-looking poser taking up valuable wrestling time with his non-wrestling skills. Super Porky could out-wrestle Cena. Ooh. Shoot, Lillian Garcia can't out-wrestle Cena. Cena was crying in the ring and had a bad attitude about the crowd booing him. Poor John Cena. Just put on a dress and get over with it. Maybe you and Candice Michelle can have a bra and panties match since you both have the same wrestling ability. The crowd hates you because the WWE is forcing you on us. I would tell John Cena to be toughened up and take it like a man. Instead, I just tell him to bend over and take it like a woman. F John Cena, I hate that dick.
Oh, wait a minute. Daggers at the daggers in the Cena. I love it.
That's
I didn't comment. He said everything. That's it. That's the hatred for Cena that I want now. When he wrestles, I want to hear this hatred.
But can I
want to hear the daggers right in his heart.
But I just don't understand you people that have all this hatred for John Cena.
He's a no-talent hat.
But everybody says until he loses the belt. So once he loses the belt, you people will cheer him?
No, I won't cheer him. I'm just going to boo him some more. I'm just going to... It's just like... It's one of those things. I think he needs to go... First, he needs to turn heel. Second, he needs to drop the belt. And then... Because as a bad guy, your lesser lack of moves can be appreciated because you can scrape in the eyes and scratch in the back. And, you know, pull chairs out and sledgehammers and stuff. That's what he needs to do.
All right, Marty.
He needs to cheat.
The next part of the email, you don't get the comment on because it's directed towards me.
Oh.
He says, I disagree with your question, Eric, about switching the women's matches. Here's why. You really have a really high moment with Rey Mysterio winning. He did get booed in the beginning, but everyone was happy when he won. Now the crowd was really hot for Mickey James and Trish Stratus. That would be two back-to-back matches with a lot of crowd energy. This doesn't give the crowd enough time to get excited about Triple H versus Cena. They would have been worn out. The Playboy match gave the crowd some time to rest before getting hyped up again to boo John Cena. My thing is... I agree at this point. This was a good point where people can go get their nachos or their drinks. But I'm pretty sure, as you profess in your earlier email, your hatred for John Cena, everybody would have still been able to boo him.
You would not be exhausted enough. You would not need an inch of spit or saliva on your tongue.
The part of you just cannot go without commenting, even on My Time to Shine, can you?
Oh, am I supposed to comment?
No.
Oh.
Mickey can give me butt cleavage as much as he wants. I love Mickey. Here's the deal with Osama. He's a great talker, a lot better than a lot of people in the WWE. But the minute the brother steps into the ring, he turns into Tori Wilson. He wrestles that bad. Not as bad as the no-talent Cena, but it's not pretty. I think you like him because he is quick on his feet. I think that they are wasting him, though. They should have used him with someone else. By the way, Osama was compared to Ric Flair over and over again in Ohio Valley shows. They both talk about the fancy cars and the women. So seeing them together, it was an inside joke. Also, he has some comments on listener feedback. I disagree with Omar's comment on Bret Hart. Just so Eric doesn't run out of breath, I'll make short comments. Watch the Wrestling with the Shadows DVD, and you'll see that this goes beyond a simple double cross. Eric compared getting screwed over a promotion or something like what happened to Bret. This isn't quite a fair comparison. Bret earned a lot of money for WWE. When we worked in the office, we don't generate millions while others get paid thousands. He was upfront about everything when he was trying to negotiate his contract. He gave Vince every chance to keep him, and Vince didn't. Bret went beyond a call of duty to get re-signed with the WWE and then gave notice. Others didn't. Vince screwed Owen's family too after Owen's death. So after screwing him over in Canada, betraying his brother's family, exploiting his family, and threatening to make a video that would have been entitled The Self-Destructions of Bret Hart if he didn't appear on their DVD, why would you get over it? Well, first of all, from what I understand about the incident between Vince McMahon and Bret Hart is that Bret Hart was not very flexible. He didn't want to drop the belt. He didn't want to do anything. And as a businessman, as Vince, you don't want the Alonzo Blaze thing happen again. Him coming on WCW television with a belt, throwing it into the trash.
So you said Vince was in panic mode.
I'm saying Vince was in panic mode. True, I don't know if he didn't panic, what Bret's intentions would have been as, but as a man of $1 million company or $1 billion corporation, you have to understand the business decisions that screw over one person to make sure your product stays number one.
And we always establish Vince is an evil
genius. He's an evil man.
Yes.
And I would agree. Yes, the DVD was probably done for the simple fact that he did not want to have the self-destruction of Bret Hart. Yeah. But honestly, it's not really no self-destruction of Bret Hart because Bret Hart wasn't hated as much as Ultimate Warrior, at least yes. That.
People like Bret Hart person sometimes. Some people. Except for Shawn Michaels. And people despise the Ultimate Warrior to the extent that people want to kick his ass in the locker rooms.
But thanks for the email,
Ebert. Orton, that DVD.
Thanks for the email, Ebert. So we're moving on to the next email. We got it from Wesley. Normally he sends us a voicemail, but he sent us an email. This is the first Wesley wrestling rant. I did not see WrestleMania, but as far as Raw, the first hour was very good. I still do not like John Cena, especially with his interview on Raw. I cannot get with his I don't care attitude. I know characters change, but I feel Austin was the best person to do this. And Cena is a pale imitation. He needs to get back to the semi-rapper gimmick sometimes to get the cheers he wants. Triple H, Edge are very funny playing off of each other. I think that they should let any members of the Spirit Squad defend the titles.
Agreed.
Someone tell Shelton Benjamin to take those blind man glasses off. Instead of using Eddie's name, Chavo should have just used the Guerrero's family name to get more over. I really think that Vince has gone over the line in using God and his name to draw heat and continue his feud with Shawn. Vince, let it go. I see right now that I do not like the headhunter type gimmick. Just bring back Rosie and form them a much-needed tag team.
Yes!
I like Mickey without the blonde hair, but whenever Trish is 100%, she needs to feud with Melina. For the Women's Championship, or do the first ever triple threat for the Women's Championship.
Yes!
To wrap up, points for thought. If Triple H won the belt, would he keep the spinner belt or get back to the original belt?
He has to go back to the original belt.
Because like...
Or not an original belt, but a newer belt.
But like Marcus said, as long as the spinner belt is around, you will always feel that Cena will be the champion.
Yeah,
you just like with Edge. Edge didn't change the belt, he didn't hold the belt that long.
They're going to come up with another belt. I believe because the other WWE championship I didn't really like.
Uh-huh.
I think it's time for a new one. Because when the World Heavyweight belt was the WCW belt, which I always felt was never... I never really liked that design. I always felt that they could, you know, spice this one up.
Also, another point, TNA needs to bring in Tom Cole as Christian's bodyguard, the same role he had in WWE. It would be good and funny. I would agree. Especially with the attacks recently done on Christian. Why else hire a bodyguard?
Or not just have him as a bodyguard, maybe have him as an enemy.
Yeah, like James Mitchell bringing somebody from your past.
You
leave me
behind, and you saw where my career went. Yeah. I could have been bigger, and you spoiled, you know, something like that.
Matt Hardy needs the IC belt or a serious push in the near future. I am an MF'er for life. I agree. And I really hate when he got put off of Raw to SmackDown, because I thought Matt Hardy, to me, is a serious contender for
the Intercontinental Champion. Yeah, but he had to. It had to happen. Him or Edge had to go. Why? Because him and Edge... You know, that feud would have never ended if you didn't separate them. Kind of like with Batista and Triple H. That is the point.
But now, do you think with them being so far apart that they could actually go back and work together?
Yeah, they could probably not work together.
No, I mean that WWE could have those guys both on the shows without making reference.
Bringing up the whole Lita issue. Because that's passe, but Lita is now the hoe and no longer you screwed Matt Chance.
Exactly. And then he says, Shelton needs his uncle to come in place of his mama, playing his... Ron Simmons asked for Root, playing his uncle. That's it for me. Love to join the live chat. And he leaves us the email. Also, I would agree that Shelton needs somebody else. The thing is, from what I understand, his mama might not be back. They're kind of through with that angle, they think.
I think they do need Farouk. Farouk seems like, I don't know if he would be keen on doing it. I don't know. Is he happy being retired? Or what is Farouk's plans? Or what is he doing now that he's no longer wrestling? I think he'd be the perfect person to come in and toughen up Shelton. Forget those sunglasses, by the way. You're not primetime Shelton Benjamin. We don't need you to
be Conway, Sylvain, or The Rock. Whoever put these shades on.
Those are the worst sunglasses. And then he has to change. Shelton was fine without all that. He needs a problem solver, bodyguard, uncle, cousin,
nephew.
He
needs someone to take him under his wing. Farouk would be great, but I don't think Farouk is going to do it. But if I could, Bad News Brown or Bad News Allen, if he's still living, I'm not sure. A lot of people to give him that thing. First of all, the person unfortunately does have to be black, I think.
I don't know. I think he just needs a faction. If you bring him, put him in some type of faction, say, for example, Evolution. What are they for? Batista, Orton? And, you know, they had Triple H already, man. And Flair. If you put him in something like that, that would work benefits for him.
This is where Mr. Fuji and Bobby Heaton's always came into play.
Yes, and like a Jimmy Hart.
Know who could help Shelton a lot? Daivari.
Yeah, you could team with Daivari.
That's another thing. Let me go back to SmackDown before we move to the next team.
Promotional managers?
No. One that's been great, and instead of the Giant, it would have been Hassan. Just think about the beef. I mean, remember Undertaker killed Hassan just to say somebody came from the past? Man, I would have jumped out of my seat if Hassan would have been the one walking out to the ring.
That would have been perfect. And he didn't have to be, I hate America and all that junk, you
just
know.
Just being Hassan is enough.
Yes, and just saying, I saw the light, I'm crazy as hell, Dad, I'm going to kill you, Undertaker.
Yes, instead of his mission of hating America, his mission is to hate The Undertaker.
Yes.
Yes. Well, no, we got a Giant. So we received the email.
Apparently looks like after that chop, didn't seem impressive.
No. So we received the email from Manny. He says, what's up, guys? What's up, Manny? After watching SmackDown, here's some of my thoughts. A great opening match. Watching this match made me think about what Eric said about making a women's title interpromotional. How good that would look if Melita wore the title while coming out with the tag teams, M&M. But how dare London and Kendrick handle my woman like they did? You damn right, man. Even though I am a Mickey person, Melina is number two in promotional women.
Number two? You can separate them like this. You can make them both number one.
Oh, yeah.
You can just twist it up. One and one. You can't tell them, oh, baby, you're just number two, though.
Then, why, WWE, why must they continue with the stupid Boogeyman Booker T feud? And not only that, Booker loses to some random guy that I've never seen before, and he also got to celebrate and get congratulated by Benoit. What is going on? As we explained in the show, this guy is Benoit. It's an inside wrestling joke that many people did not know.
It's Gunner Scott. Gunner Scott.
Watching Kurt Angle slap Orton, followed by the that kind of reminded me of Abyss for some reason. It did. And that's pretty much all Angle said the whole episode.
Yes. I don't know what Angle is on. Is he Kane? Is he going to have to talk to one of that ass thing? Is he have to do that now? Is he only says yes? He a bitch going all day?
I don't know. Also, how they're bringing the King of the Ring back, but is going to be only SmackDown participating, or is there going to be a Raw part? As I look at the WWE schedule, and there seems to be no mention, which only leads me to assume that the winner will win on SmackDown and take on Rey at Judgment Day.
I think they could do this in a promotional. You have Carlito.
Marcus, you said it already.
I know, but I'm going to bring up the wrestlers so they can put in. Just a little bit.
I got things to do, Marcus.
You got Carlito, you got Masters, you got Big Show and Kane and all these other people around. You could just put them in this tournament. Have the brackets full and just be ready to go.
Okay, Rey versus Orton was a great match. That mid-air dropkick spots were excellent. However, the win just kind of reminded me of John Cena match where Rey took a hell of an ass beating only to hulk up at the end and win the match. And I turned the sound on after a while as Cole started to annoy me after kissing Mysterio's ass pretty much all night. It's a dream come true, blah, blah, blah. Shut up, Cole. Next week on SmackDown, I will do a count for the amount of time Taz says no doubt. Did they make the title bigger on purpose? When Batista held the title, it looked, well, small. When Mysterio held it up, it looked huge. I am still not a Rey Mysterio title believer, even though this match was great. But if you listened to Cole, you were constantly reminded of a dream come true and how much taller Orton was than Mysterio. Mm-hmm. If Vince wanted the little guys to stand out in our WWE, he should have put his attention on the cruiserweights. And it made their title seem worthwhile to hold.
Yes.
I usually thought when you lose in a casting match, we're not supposed to see the loser for a good month or so.
It was up 2 days later.
I suppose it was to show off Daivari's latest client. I think this guy has a worse chin than Edge. What a beast as well. He's giant version of Rhino. SmackDown wasn't too bad. If I had to grade it, I would give it a B-. And right yesterday's in history as Crystal performs a successful back day stage interview with her tie diamond necklace.
The tie necklace.
Yeah, whatever. I want to see what TNA can produce after being overkilled by WWE pretty much with WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame. Peace out, Manny. Nice email, Manny.
That was a nice email. And the two emails I agree all the way. I also agree with Ebert stabbing the daggers into Cena's brain and ego and just destroying Cena piece by piece, week by week. I enjoyed these emails. I enjoyed them all. This is a great week in listening to feedback.
Alright, and the last email we received is from Floyd. He says, "Hey guys, great show as usual. Marcus, I am glad to see you become my vice president to the John Cena fan club."
No, I'm not part of his fan club. I am not a Cena lover. I just enjoy the crowd, what he does.
He says he feels good about his two major Mania prediction, Kane and Big Show retaining the titles, and JBL going over. I have an idea for the show. Could you let the listeners know when you are taping the show and we can all call in on Skype to participate in a segment of the show? It doesn't have to be the whole show, just maybe a segment about Raw or any particular issue. Or can you announce the next week's top five and let us fans argue it out on your show? I love being on the show and I'm sure other fans would love to push. Sharpshooters Rule, Floyd. Floyd, that is a great idea. But from the last episode, and probably from the things right now, we don't have the exact setup to pull it off to make it sound successful without a lot of editing being done.
Yeah, and also, it wouldn't work because, for one thing, we do not know when we're going to start the show sometimes.
Yes.
The times are flickety-flack all day.
We do it on Tuesday.
Yes.
But we don't know exactly what time. And we do it on Saturday, and I usually do it before 3 o'clock, so about 12 to 1-ish. So, I mean, it's possible to do it, but like I said, with the audio editing and stuff, yeah, we have to make sure we get the setup where it works perfectly, and if we do take it calls, we can really fix the edit.
But I wouldn't mind having a segment in which we had, you know, the debate, Cena versus Cena, you know, a debate like that. You know, like, yeah, you have Ebert in one corner, you have Floyd in the other one, and they discuss, and we mediate their little discussion about pro Cena, con Cena. The feud comes to a head.
I would actually mind making a top five, the group discussion. Because, you know, I'm really tired of the top five personally for me.
Yeah, but as you notice, we've been very flaky with it. It just seems like it's a good idea that should be around every so often.
But it's kind of hard to do a top five every week.
Yes, because it's like, it loses luster. Like, I know the oddities winning one and some of them is always the same winner.
But like I said, as soon as we get the stuff fixed, the setup to work good,
And we might have, you know, listeners.
I like the debate segment.
Listeners interviews where we interview listeners, debates. Interview. Yeah, you know, when we talk to the listeners and see what they have to say about it. I don't know.
I would like to see.
The time, to see. The
listener thing. Versus listener. Cena versus Cena. You know, stuff like that. That would be church. That's all I can say.
Anyway, that's pretty much the Sharpshooter Show for this week. Do I need 59. Closing
statements? No.
No, we don't. I don't either. This is episode 59. Big 6-0 is next week.
Is it really that big?
I'm about to go enjoy my birthday weekend.
Another vacation.
Yes. That's why the show seemed kind of rushed. I will be returning Tuesday. So, anyway, I'm Eric. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Remember, you can leave a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or dial the number 310-928-6889. And he is...
What?
You're...
Just go with the Eric thing. I can't...
Oh, you what? You get out of the sequence if I don't say it?
I lose focus, you know?
All right, Marcus, for you. I'm about to say, I'm Eric.
Yes! And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys next week for episode 60.
The sequel.